Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
And to the last of our Questions Christians Ask series, as inspired by the Good Book Company in the UK. Today, should we be absolutely sure of everything we believe? In other words, is doubt a sign of some form of spiritual failure on our part? John Stevens is the National Director of the Fellowship of Independent Evangelical Churches. John has a legal background, with his career sights set on becoming a barrister after reading law at Cambridge in the mid-80s. John has since planted and served as the senior pastor at some of the largest independent churches in the UK. John, thank you for joining us on Open House. As a legal eagle with a mindset to test all things before you came to any conclusion, how did you come to faith?
Well, thanks very much, Dwayne. I became a Christian when I was at university. I'd grown up in a non-Christian family with parents who didn't believe the Bible, didn't believe the Christian faith was true, although they had sent me to Sunday school as a kid because they thought that was a good thing to do. But I went away to university to study law, and I was a non-Christian. I would have said I was an atheist. And really, it was through meeting a number of Christian friends while I was at university who shared their faith story with me, who invited me along to a number of events where I heard the good news about Jesus explained, and seeing the difference that Jesus made in their life. Over a period of time, I came to understand what the Christian message was, the claims about Jesus having been the Son of God who'd come into the world to rescue people who were sinners. I became convinced that I was a sinner who'd been rejecting God. I saw the difference that Jesus made in their lives. So over a period of time, I came to understand what the Christian message was, and more than that, came to believe that it was true. So my sort of faith journey began at university through the witness of friends, but I didn't become a Christian immediately. Even though I understood the Christian message and felt that it was true, it hadn't fitted with my plans to be a Christian. So I wanted to be a successful lawyer. That's what I'd been training for. That had been my ambition for about 10 years. And following Jesus didn't fit with my plan. So I spent about a year trying to fight God off and not become a Christian. I can remember being at a number of events where we were called to put our faith and trust in Jesus. And I didn't want to do that because I knew it would mean a big change in my life. So for about a year, I fought Jesus off. But then at the beginning of my final year, I just realized that if Jesus really was the Lord of the universe and he was calling me to follow him, that in the end, I had no real choice but to submit to him. So I became a Christian at the beginning of my final year.
John, I'm interested in the perspective of one who, like many, considered a process of faith to preclude them from success, in your case, as a barrister.
Well, I think, as I said, I'd grown up with ambitions. My parents had invested a huge amount in my education, in our family. Being successful, earning money, gaining status were what life was seen to be all about. And I had tremendous opportunity. I was studying Cambridge University, that's where I was an undergraduate. I had a number of jobs offered to me in law firms in London. So in many ways, I had a sort of a glittering career potentially ahead of me. And I was living in a time in which sort of that's what people thought was most important. But for me personally, I knew that following Jesus would mean putting him first in my life. And I knew that I couldn't live just for myself and what I wanted. I had an inkling, really, at an early stage that in following Jesus, I'd need to give my whole life to him and perhaps even have to serve him. So I knew that there'd be a significant cost involved. So I knew that I'd be giving up some of those ambitions. I also knew that it would be extremely difficult for my family, who would feel that in a way I'd betrayed them and rejected their values by following Jesus. And indeed, that was very much the case. They found it very difficult that I chose to become a Christian and follow Christ rather than pursue the path that they'd prepared for me.
John, as a reader of law at one of the world's finest universities, what were some of the doubt questions you had to overcome?
Yeah, I don't think my questions were dissimilar from those of many other people's questions. There are sort of a number of common objections that people might have to the Christian faith. So the Christian faith is ultimately based on sort of historical facts. And the claim about Jesus of Nazareth and whether he really was the Son of God who came into the world. So did Jesus really exist? Is the Bible an accurate record of the life of Jesus? Can we trust it to be true? Did Jesus rise from the dead? And then questions such as how does Christianity fit with science? Hasn't science disproved God? The question of suffering and evil in the world. How can there be a good God when there's suffering and evil in the world? The hypocrisy of many Christians. How can you be a Christian when so many Christians seem to live sort of contradictory lives? So those are the kinds of questions that I think that many people who are not Christians, who are atheists or agnostics would have. Don't all religions lead to God? Why not just Christianity? And those were the kinds of questions that I was thinking about all the time. I guess as a sort of a teenager, I'd thought that Christianity was for people who were weak and who needed a crutch to lean on. And one of the things I was very struck by at university was that some very intelligent people were Christians, and I was struck by the difference Christ made to their lives. So those were the package of questions that I was asking and that, in a sense, needed to be answered before I was willing to become a Christian.
John, did you find answers to all of the doubts that emerged in your steps towards faith?
I think I wouldn't say that necessarily found absolute answers to all of those questions at that time. But I think I found that I had to doubt my doubts. So some of the prejudices that I had, for example, about whether the Bible was true, I learned enough to be able to set those prejudices aside and know that my convictions and my unbelief didn't necessarily have a solid basis for it. So it was a combination of having many of those questions chipped away at to a sense in which my unbelief was no longer secure, whilst at the same time meeting Jesus through his word and him calling me to follow him. So it's not necessarily that all those doubts were resolved absolutely or that all my questions were answered, but that my confident unbelief was undermined. And at the same time, through the Bible, I met with Jesus and realized that he was Lord and I needed to follow him. So at the point of becoming a Christian, it wasn't the case that I'd resolved all of those questions or fully understood how to answer them, but they'd been undermined to such an extent that I was willing to put my trust and faith in Jesus.
So while your journey to faith, John, was powered by doubts arising around your life outside of your beliefs, I get a sense that sometimes within Christianity, it's said that doubt is an indictment on spiritual strength.
I think it's true that faith is always a battle for us as Christians. And I think one of the issues here is that doubt is a very wide word that covers a whole spectrum. So I think there's a very important difference between what the Bible calls unbelief, which is rejection of the truth, so rejection of belief and faith in Jesus, and doubt, which is, in a sense, a process of kind of questioning. There may be things about which we're unsure or uncertain, or we may need greater confidence. So doubt itself covers a whole spectrum, from just asking questions and wanting greater certainty, that leads through all the way to unbelief, which is rejection of the truth. And doubt can cover a spectrum of different things as well. So as Christians, we can have questions about whether or not we ourselves are truly saved. We often call that assurance. But in a way, that's also an aspect of doubt. If I'm wondering whether I am personally truly a Christian or not, in a sense, I'm doubting the reality of my own salvation. So doubt covers a very wide spectrum. The Bible warns us very strongly against unbelief, but it recognizes that we will, I think, as Christians, face challenges of doubt, and we will face questions. And I think through our Christian lives, most of us will have to at times battle with periods of uncertainty, periods of questioning. And because we think doubt is always wrong, that, I think, for many Christians means that we're reluctant to admit that we're struggling with some of those questions. We haven't yet become unbelievers, but we do have questions that we need to resolve or at least talk about. But because we fear that doubt is a wrong thing, we're therefore reluctant to maybe talk to other Christians or talk to our church leaders or to people who can help us. So it's important to recognize that doubt covers a wide range of different feelings.
John, having said that, the Bible doesn't speak glowingly of those who do doubt, though, does it? I'm thinking of doubting Thomas, Abraham, Lot's wife turned into a pillar of salt for doubting the advice of the angels. Are there any biblical accounts of those who doubt who aren't condemned?
Well, I think if you look at someone, for example, like Doubting Thomas, I think really that's an example of unbelief. So Thomas says he will not believe that Jesus has risen from the dead. So in terms of categories, I think that looks more like a situation of here is somebody who was refusing to believe the truth, even though there were reliable witnesses who were telling him that truth. And his coming from unbelief to faith, we think of as a move from doubt to belief. But I think it belongs a little bit more at the unbelief end of the spectrum. Yeah. But you're right, doubt is never seen as being a good thing. It can damage our Christian lives. It can damage our service. And we're meant to grow through doubt to a greater and more confident faith. But if we look, for example, at the life of a Bible character like Abraham, Abraham is presented to us in the Bible as a man of faith, in fact, a paradigm man of faith.
Yes.
But as he lived his life, we can see ways in which he doubted God's word, he didn't trust God's word. There were times when he passed off, for example, his wife as his sister. Mm-hmm. So Abraham's journey of faith was one of growth through periods of doubt and not trusting God's word as he should have done. But the end result was that he grew to a confident faith where he was even willing to take God at his word and be willing to sacrifice his son Isaac. And if you look at Hebrews chapter 11, in Hebrews 11 we have a list of the many of the heroes of the faith of the Old Testament. And many of those individuals at periods in their life experienced times of questioning or doubting, finding it difficult to take God at his word and act on God's promises, but yet they grew through those experiences to become confident men of faith. So again, I think there's an important difference between unbelief and doubt. Many of the heroes of the faith in the Bible, both Old and New Testament, experienced times of doubt, but grew through that and their faith was strengthened. So I think we can take it from that, that doubt will be a very common human experience. Even for those who are believing and trusting in God, there will be times when they have questions and uncertainties that they need to work through.
John, what is the antidote to doubt? Is it empirical proof from the Bible or is it faith?
I think it's a little bit of both, and they connect together. Doubt is obviously lacking trust in God's word, not believing him, and then not acting on the basis of what he said. So I think it depends on exactly what the cause of the doubt is. Some doubts we might have might be at a more intellectual level, and in addressing those doubts, what we need to do is come back to the evidence and have that doubt settled. So we might, for example, doubt that Jesus rose from the dead, and then what we need to do is come back and look at the evidence, look at the evidence of the witnesses, maybe look at the evidences of history and the growth of the early church, look at the evidence of the work of God in the life of Christians, and the evidence will strengthen our faith. So as Christians, our faith is never a blind step in the dark. Christian faith is based on solid historical evidence. So our faith is strengthened or can be strengthened by looking at the evidence that underpins it. Now, that evidence doesn't, as it were, create the faith, but it does strengthen and support the faith. So I would say it's not a conflict between the two. It needs to be both and for our faith to be strengthened.
John, as a lecturer, a legal eagle, a pastor, step us through the process whereby you are able to pass through doubt to a stronger, more vibrant faith.
I think as a Christian, because of my whole process of becoming a Christian took quite a long time and I had very significant questions to address. I think when I first became a Christian, I had a strong and confident faith because I'd become convinced that Jesus was true. I was in the early stages of the excitement of discovering my Christian life. So in a sense, I'd had to address many questions prior to becoming a Christian, and that was something that gave me a strong faith. But as I went on in the Christian life, I think there are challenges along the way that cause you to question your faith and challenge it. I think for me, probably the most significant personal experience was about 5 years after I'd become a Christian. My father died from lung cancer. He wasn't, as far as I'm aware, a believer, and it was a sort of very long and slow and painful death over about 6 months. I think having any experience like that, and it's the first time that death had come that close to me, it inevitably makes you ask questions about whether your faith is real and true and reliable. So all of those questions were raised. So watching my kind of father's kind of first head towards the crematorium, you're inevitably asking questions about, is there really a resurrection? Can death really be defeated? And what you might have believed, doubts are created by that experience. And for me personally, it then took a period of time of just reading the Bible, praying, reflecting, coming back to the evidence to just recover a strong and confident faith. I think often it's challenges of personal suffering and personal difficulty that perhaps create questions and doubts that then need to be worked through. So that was a major cause of doubt for me. I think the ongoing struggle with sin in my life continues to be a cause of doubt. Some of the things I might think, some of the things I might be tempted by, some of the things I might say and do, as I fall into sin, they make me ask the question, am I really a Christian? Have I really been converted and transformed by Jesus? So again, I need to come back and look at what the Christian faith is and rediscover the truth that it's not about me. It's not about what I do to make myself right with God. It's about what Jesus has done for me. It's about then looking at the progress that I've made in the Christian life and seeing places where God has been at work and where there has been growth. But those are sort of the kinds of challenges that I faced as a Christian.
John, do you have a go-to scripture that you recommend to those who are struggling to overcome doubt?
Well, I think it depends on what the area of doubt is. I want them always to come back to the sort of the great truths of the Bible about who Jesus is and what he's done for them. I would generally tend to want to go to 1 John, which I think is a book in the Bible that's specifically written to bring confidence to those who have faith in Jesus that they really do have eternal life in Christ. So 1 John begins by reassuring people that even though we are sinners, and we accept that we've fallen short of God's standards and we deserve his God's judgment. If we confess our sins, then Jesus is faithful and forgives us our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. He is the one who's the advocate with the Father for us, so he's pleading and speaking on our behalf. So I'd always want to start there with the objective truths of who Jesus is and what he's done for us. And then 1 John goes on to speak about some of the evidential and experiential effects of being a believer in the Lord Jesus. So the evidential effects of a changed life as we have greater love for those who are believers already, as we resist and fight against sin. And experientially, it talks about the work of the Holy Spirit within us, bringing us confidence that we are the children of God. So I think that's a resource that's been given to us in God's Word, that's been specifically inspired to bring encouragement and confidence to Christians so that they can know that they have eternal life in Christ. I think that's a pretty good place to start.
And I can think of no better place to finish our discussion on faith and doubt as part of the Good Book Company's Questions Christians Ask series. Have a pleasant afternoon.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.